Pobrecito, te duele tu espaldito. Necesitas un abogadito para ayudar a tu familia. Estamos contigo. Pobrecito, por favor no te enojes conmigo. Por el mejor consejo que te digo, vamos juntos por el mejor objetivo. Quiero ver su caso, ser su mejor amigo.
Evan Garcia, turn it up.
Digas tus problemas. It's pretty good. Para ayudarte con ganas, amigo.
So if you want to hear the entire version of Pobrecita,
Pobrecito,
yeah,
okay,
go to iTunes, I guess. But if you want the translation, talk to Ivan, I suppose. But that's Evan Garcia in our office singing Pobrecito,
Pobrecito,
Pobrecito, poor little thing. But we're here today for the Justice Team podcast for the paralegal edition. We have the paralegal edition. But before we start, as always, we have our barmaid. Is that right? Are you a barmaid?
I don't think I'm a barmaid.
Barman?
Barman.
Barman.
Barman, yes.
Barbarian man. Okay. Murat, what are we drinking today? Why don't you tell us what's up?
So today, I decided to start the day off with an official mimosa. Many of y'all have been drinking not mimosas over the years.
What
you've been having at your brunch spot, that's not a mimosa. This right here, we've got orange juice, Grand Marnier, and champagne. This is the official drink that was invented in 1925 at the Paris Hotel, at the Ritz Hotel in Paris, named after the mimosa flowering shrub. So this right here, this is legit.
Wow.
Yeah.
What makes it different, the Grand Marnier?
The Grand Marnier. The other thing is just orange juice and champagne. That's just your bottomless whatever at the brunch spot. This is basic.
Bottomless West Hollywood restaurant.
Mimosa. Yeah.
Thank God I
took this
my
is legit. Milo I'm taking care of y'all today.
Thank you, Murat. Yeah.
So we have, this is our first non-lawyer edition, but it's probably the best one. I bet you this will be the most downloaded podcast. I'm putting a wager on it right now.
Uh-oh.
I'm betting Murat, a bottle of Grand Marnier. So let me introduce everybody here, because we have a very experienced team who have been in this world for a very long time. The first one I'm going to start with is, to my far left, Lupe Flores. Lupe, she comes from us she's a senior child paralegal, and you've been there, what, 20 years, 30 years?
11 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
But you have 20 years of experience.
Over 20 years of experience, yes.
So she's at the firm of Chernoff, Bedard, and Echeverria, where they're in Claremont, and they do a lot of insurance coverage and bad faith work, and they're known throughout the country for being the pioneers in that. So she's also has been awarded Cal's prestigious Presidential Award.
Yeah, in 2018.
Look at that.
Yeah.
We can all aspire to be. So why don't you introduce yourself and say hello?
Again, I'm Lupe, and I've been with Chernoff. It's actually going to be 11 years in April. It feels like 11 years go by really fast. And I'm actually the current sitting chair of the CALA Legal Support Staff Group.
Good. And we're going to talk a little bit about that, because I'm sure our listeners are going to want to know how to tap in. To her right, to my left, is Alonso Palencia.
That's it.
From the Dordic Law Corporation.
Correct.
And how long have you been with the Dordic Law Corporation?
This will be my 29th year.
29th year.
29th year.
And everybody in the industry knows Alonzo. Everybody knows he actually runs the firm. Like, he's the guy you actually talk to. It is no secret. I actually got to see him yesterday at the defense seminar. We were secret spies there trying to pick
trying to
up
get
some.
Their,
we were just talking about
there.
That yesterday, too.
Yes. I mean, it's a pretty good one to go to. Alonzo gives back. He does a lot of stuff with Los Angeles Child Lawyers Charities. He's coached the national junior basketball at the YMCA.
Weren't Lover you Santa too? I think he was Santa this year.
I was Santa this year.
Yeah, that, him and Santa were Santa.
Actually very special this year. We did get a letter from a young man, and it's nice to know that people still believe in Santa Claus. It was pretty touching. We had gifts delivered to him.
Don't mention Santa and touching in the same sentence. That's a different podcast.
Oh,
continue.
Am I in the wrong room? Yeah, so it was really, really special. It was fun. I had a great time. So hopefully I'll do it again next year.
Well,
not the touching, but
not the touching.
Just a Santa.
Well, thanks for coming, Alonzo. I mean, it's great to have you here. And then to my far right is Sarah Whaley.
Yes.
And she comes to us from San Diego, where she's born and raised. Yeah. Have you ever been to born and raised in San Diego?
I have, actually. We had our Christmas party there this year.
Excellent place,
by the way. It was amazing. Pretty good.
So criminal justice undergrad degree.
Yes.
Me too. Any other criminal justice
majors? Me too.
Yeah, yeah. Ivan, I knew that answer. But it's interesting about Sarah. She's been in this both plaintiff and defense for a long time. But outside of work, she has an energy healing, a successful energy healing practice, in a book coming out next month.
I do, yeah.
Plug it. Go.
Wow.
It's an anthology called Woke. It's a collection of stories written by women who are want to bring about a conscious living into everything that we do. So it's about coming more from the soul level and putting that into all our work.
And you work a lot with Ryan Conger in our office. Do you ever have to use energy healing on him? I would assume so.
The question is, when don't you have to do energy healing on him? No, I do. Like, I think everything's energy. We're speaking. This is energy. It's all about, you know, how we present ourselves. So, yeah.
You'd be a great geomancer in Dungeons & Dragons. You guys don't get that reference, but I do, so it's funny for me.
Okay. All right,
so
anyway.
And last and certainly least, well, not least.
No, least.
Yeah, least, no, is Ivan Monserrat, who's been with us for a very long time, since almost the inception of our law firm. And he's also a veteran. Ivan was with the Navy, and you were awarded in October 2007 the Naval Achievement Medal.
Yeah.
What is that one up for?
It's cool? Essentially, if you do a good job in your naval career, at the end of your naval career, they'll award you with like a Navy Achievement Medal, which is what I got at the end, which is nice. And a lot of people forget that you know, that I was in the military before I came here, but it was a great experience. It paid for my college. I was in, after I got out of the Navy, I went straight to San Diego State. Like, if it wasn't for that, then I wouldn't have money to pay for college. So the Navy gives you like free health benefits too, so it's awesome. If anybody wants to join, you know,
so we can cut you off our health plan.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah, actually,
noted.
You can.
Noted.
Yeah, you can, Murat.
Murat, sure. Murat, don't send that to HR. I told you, don't do that.
Again,
great thing. I mean, Ivan's been a backbone to our firm since the beginning. Like, he's my right hand guy. We work a lot together and a lot of stuff, but he's also the youngest of three children from El Paso.
Yes.
And according to his bio, he's also the best looking of those three children.
I am, to this day.
And the most humble.
And, you know, we affectionately refer to December 25th as Ivan Monserrat Day, not Christmas.
Not Christmas.
Yeah, it's so he's a Christmas baby. Well, thanks for coming, Ivan. So let's get this kicked off right. I want to do something fun to start with you guys. I want you to tell me the top 10 things that annoy the shit out of you that us lawyers do. Like, what is the worst?
Oh,
Sarah, you lit up. You tell me. What is it? I know we could talk for days. This is a learning lesson for our lawyers.
All right. Where do I look? Just kidding.
You're in a safe zone.
She's like, where do I start?
Wow. Okay. I think a big one is the concept of time. Or maybe the lack of concept of time that I think attorneys have. There's a disconnection of how long an assignment takes versus how much time, the measurement of time. So, yeah, that's a pet peeve of mine.
Give us an example. Come on, trash somebody.
I know. I'm like from a small office. Everyone's going to know who I'm talking about.
No way. His last name rhymes with Monger.
Brian Monger.
Brian Monger.
Yes. That's the example. So I think attorneys in general have a lot of ideas, which, you know, you guys are all visionaries, and it takes a team to implement. And I think that sometimes there's a lack of bridging that the vision with the actual task. And yeah, it could be a little bit stressful at times too.
All right.
Kind of.
Yeah.
That makes Ivan, sense. You go. Come on, man. Give us some.
I don't know. Probably attorneys that are really scorched earth. Like, I hate that about, you know, there's no need for attorneys and paralegals on the other side to be like, you know, mean. And I feel like being nice overall, like, goes a long way, especially because, you know, being in the industry for so long, you get to see the same people over and over again from the other side. So it's like, it's easier to just get along with everybody. So I think that's my pet peeve, like, scorched earth. And probably, like, I'm going to say it, like, attorneys need to have a little bit of, like, a slice of humble pie goes a long way.
Truth, speak it.
Like, it's just my personal opinion.
Wait, you mean lawyers have egos?
No. No, what? Never. So, yeah, it's just.
Do you ever feel, I'll ask you first, Ivan, and then the rest. Do you ever feel that lawyers talk down to you either at the firm, but more importantly, on the other side, if they think you're pre-legal, they treat you differently?
Here, no. But I feel like I've seen horror stories from my friends where they get treated badly by their firm or their attorneys. And I'm like, I could never. Like, that, you know, that's some of the stuff is like unacceptable. But here at the firm, that's never happened. So.
And how about to the left side? Any experiences with other side or something?
I think it happens a lot on the other side. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had, especially with older attorneys, I've had times when I've called or there's a meet and confer issue or if, you know, whatever the case is, if I speak to the paralegal, they'll transfer me to the attorney. And I've had attorneys tell me, okay, are you, what's your title? And I said, oh, I'm the paralegal on the case. And they're like, well, is your attorney available? Mm. I've had attorneys refuse to talk to me until I transfer them.
I've had
or they're very
too.
Condescending. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, sometimes I want to say, hold on a second. Like, I'm on the ground floor.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I really know what I'm doing. But, you know, I think... mostly I can associate it with like older defense attorneys is who I get it from
and
lot.
Let us know, like a few times it's happened at our firm where they talk down to some of either anybody at our firm
right.
and like we go nuts when that happens. It's like, you know, protecting one of your own kin, but it's
right.
messed up.
No, yeah, that's how it is at our firm as well. And Ivan, to echo what he said, you know, I definitely don't have that at our firm. Thankfully, you know, we have a good group of people. And you asked about 10 things that, you know, you hate about attorneys. It's really hard to group attorneys in one category because there's just such a vast diversity. But I think one challenge that you constantly have, and I've noticed that from new paralegals coming in, is there's so many different personalities you have to deal with on the daily, especially when you work with multiple attorneys. So I can have, let's say, one set of discovery or one complaint that I'm doing for one attorney. And for the other attorney, I'll do the exact same thing, but the other attorney might not like general objections or might not like me to do boilerplate objections.
So you have to pick your style for the lawyer.
So you just have to be willing to acclimate and kind of just, you know, be able to change and be flexible because there are different personalities. There's different styles, but I can't really say anything I specifically hate, but I think, you know, aside from the condescending aspect of it, but that's just... that's mostly from defense. I've never really gotten it from attorneys.
I mean, if anybody don't know the lawyers at her firm, they're amazing. And Mike Bedard's a big guy. People don't realize, like, he's got, his hands are like the size of Rottweilers. Like,
right.
He's a big dude. Like, you don't want to mess with him.
Right.
But he's very, like, calm, nice guy.
He's very calm.
Man.
Very calm.
He's actually the catalyst. He hooked me up when we were in the Basque country, because he's Basque.
Right.
I got my daughter was baptized in a Catholic church there. It was always one of my dreams through Mike Bedard. So,
oh, that's
yeah,
great.
It was really cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he set that up, man. He's very well-connected dude.
Yeah, and he's been around for such a long time, as Bill has, and you can go to them at any time and just be like, hey, I have a question about this, or talk to them, and they're just the most laid-back guys, down to earth, and it's... you know, it's a little intimidating when I first started working for them. I mean, it's Chernoff, Bedard, and Chavaria, and they're just wonderful guys. Yeah. Like, I've learned so much, and they take the time to answer questions. Like, I can pop in Ricardo's office.
Have any of you ever been in an environment, because I think everybody here works at more of a, like a chill ecosystem firm, right? Like chill, like from the top down, lawyers that are pretty chill, even though we're in this trial environment. But have any of you, and we're going to get to Alonzo and his things he hates, but has anybody here worked in an environment where it was just like a toxic feel to it?
Yes.
Sarah,
yes.
You're shaking your head.
I did. When I was a defense firm.
Mm-hmm. Don't name names.
No, I'm not. It was a primarily business defense firm in San Diego. And there was a very clear hierarchy of how things were run. And even to me, the disappointing part was even within the staff that, you know, there wasn't a lot of people wanting to work together, which is crazy to me because we're all one unit. And I had come from a plaintiff side, and the reason why I went into defense work is because I was still trying to figure out what I liked. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to investigate, like, how's the defense firms run? And it just wasn't for me. There was no family field for me in
I
that.
Agree. I worked at an insurance defense firm for a short time.
Ew. Oh,
I know.
And I mean, you're not a pureblood?
No. I started out at a small boutique firm, a family law firm in Pasadena. Mm-hmm. And I liked it. I absolutely loved what it was, but I knew that that wasn't the type of law for me. And as Sarah said, I needed to kind of dibble dabble to see what I was going to get into. And I landed at an insurance defense firm. And it really was this kind of just looking out for yourself. You couldn't even ask the staff a question. There was a hierarchy. You couldn't go into your attorney's office and say, hey, you know, I have this question. You had your forms. Like, I kind of just felt like a little monkey, just like boop, boop, you know, F4 for a status letter. There was just no collaboration. And it just felt like you walked in, you were quiet, you had your lunch, you were quiet, you left, and it was just very robotic. And I was just like, yeah, this is
robotic
awful.
Is a good a good description, because at the firm
I
was.
You say soulless? Maybe soulless.
Yes. Yeah. Even like if an attorney or somebody wanted to talk to you, there was an intercom, and rather than coming to your desk, they would announce you to come to them.
Wow. What?
Man. Yeah. Wow. Did we work at the same place?
I don't know. We'll talk later.
Alonzo, how about you? What are some things that just annoy you? Don't name names, Gary.
Well, and I'm going to say it, Gary Dordick. It's easy to work with Gary, but he's got certain things in a sense of communication. He will talk to a client. He'll get all this information. Then you'll call the client, and the client ends up yelling at you, saying, well, I already told the attorney everything. I told him where I went, what doctors I've seen. And now you're kind of backtracking, going, I know, but I just need to get a little bit more info. He did give me all of that. And you go up there, and you got to tell Gary, really? You didn't tell me that? The client just yelled at me for 5 minutes of how he told you everything. So sometimes it's just the communication between the lawyers and their staff.
I feel like I've heard that a lot at our firm too, is just the lack of communication from the lawyers. Just not like I'm a big like email heavy guy. Like I like to like lay it out so there's no miscommunication. But there's some lawyers that were different. And I mean, it's been frustrating at our firm where there's just a disconnect. Sometimes they just assume you should know what's going on.
Yeah. Read my mind. Yeah. But I know he's busy, you know, his phone. That's another thing, a pet peeve with him is you get about 5 minutes with Gary to tell him exactly what you need to tell him before that phone rings.
Yeah.
And so if you don't get it all out, forget it. Wait till the next day.
I'm the same way with Bob. It's like I only have a short period of time with him. So when I have something important to say to him, I'm just like quick to the point. I'm the same thing with Brad.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I think phone calls are a waste of my time.
Text.
Yeah, the Simon brothers do not like phone calls.
I get so many phone. I keep my voicemail full. I really do, always. And,
on purpose.
Yeah. Well, you find me, get a hold of me, he's going to text me so I get you back. You
over the years with Gary, that's what it's been now. Yeah. No more communication, just text. It's easier to get to him, I think.
Yeah. And like he likes to type to text, or he likes to talk
to text. Sometimes you'll get a text and you're reading it going, okay. Let's go through word for word what he actually means.
Yeah, when it says licking it up, it was really looking it up.
Looking it up, and you're like licking it up.
Check that one. So I want to ask everybody here, who's gone through a paralegal certification program?
I did.
I did.
You did.
Self-taught.
From the streets. So I'll start with you, Alonzo. Tell us how you got into this profession.
About 28 years ago, Gary was in a firm and my sister was his secretary. So a job opening had come about. I had just graduated high school. And so she asked me to come on over. So I did. I applied with Gary. He asked me what I knew about the law. Absolutely nothing. He says, all right, go over there, talk to your sister. And if it doesn't work out, we fire, but we'll remain friends.
Okay.
So I started doing part-time filing. Started to learn to type, dictation there. And about a year later, Gary decided he wanted to leave the firm. So he came up to me and said, I'm leaving. Will you go with me? And I said, me? He says, well, you're cheap labor. Your sister's too expensive and I can't afford her. I think I could teach you something. I'm thinking, okay, $6 an hour. Got it. So he took me upon, and I guess there was a little bit of hesitation in going with him. He was young. He's not much older than I am.
Did he stand up and have a briefcase say, who's going with me?
Not at all.
Oh, did he take a goldfish with him?
No, I think he just called in. He was a surfer back then. So all his calls were from the beach. I'm in court. Yeah, we can hear the judge.
Judge waves.
Judge
there
waves.
You go. So about a year later, here we go. Start the Dordick Law Firm. And it's been an adventure ever since. And Gary knows everything. Gary can actually take a case from start, from a sign up all the way up to trial. And there's not too many lawyers that can do that. I'm sure Bob knows how to do that, but very few out there that can actually handle the initial contact with a client, get them to doctors, go all the way through. He knows step by step, and he's always a step ahead of everybody.
So what is your like more day-to-day now? You know, 28 years in, are you more managing people? Like, what is your day-to-day?
I'm still in the trenches. I'm still doing the work. It's tapered off a little bit more, I think. I'm more going to events, which I did used to do. So you guys see me a lot out there promoting more the firm. But I'm still in there doing the heavy litigation, consulting with the lawyers. We go over how to get a case moving, which way it's going, helping all the paralegals. So it's still being up there and
a little bit of both. Yeah, that's kind of what I'm doing right now. Yeah. Where I still help out in a little bit of cases, but then I'm also like going to more events and stuff like that.
But I mean, to me, about I would say 5 years ago, Gary says, we need to take it easy. We're working too hard. And I said, perfect. He says, well, light your load. Never light it up. It's heavier and heavier. You know, so, but you still learn every day in this industry. You know, you go out there and you learn from all your lawyers. You learn from the lawyers that are out there. I mean, I see Bob, I hear him speaking, you know, I hear, you know, Bedard, Echeverria out there, and you kind of listen into their conversations because it's a lot of insight of what's going on out there, what they're going through. So at times you could take that, take it back to the office and apply it for everybody.
So for Lupe, where did you get your certification from? Do you think that helped you early on or?
Not at all. Wow. I kind of stumbled upon being a paralegal, and I initially wanted to be a cop and I was a police explorer.
Wow.
And after a few ride-alongs, I knew that wasn't something I could do every day. And I got this job at this boutique family law firm in Pasadena, and I liked it. I liked looking at the way things transition from beginning to end to resolution, but I was so green. So I enrolled in the paralegal program, but it was just so 30,000 feet. It was not helpful at all. So, you know, you have your grandfather cases that you see in mediation briefs and in MSJs. And I remember just printing those cases that were cited, and I would read them over and over and just interpret it. And I'd ask questions, and I learned more by doing. It was trial and error. And thankfully I've come across many attorneys and have worked with many attorneys that have taken the time to say, hey, this is how you do this, you know, but those that don't speak aren't heard, you know? So if I would have hesitated or been intimidated to go in and ask, I would have never known. Thankfully, I took the shot and figured if they tell me, hey, you know, go kick rocks, I'm not going to talk to you right now, then I lose nothing.
It's a practice of law.
So the certification is, you know, it was good. It was a good experience. However, I consider myself more self-taught and self-trained because, you know, again, you don't learn without doing.
And every firm, if you go to a different firm, their system's completely different.
Right.
And Sarah, how about you? Do you think the certification, because you went from, you went to college in San Diego too,
right?
And the certification.
Actually, I was self-taught for 5 years. And because I wanted to go into the defense world, they required the certification, which is why I did it. I know.
Wanted to.
I know. So I agree with Lupe. I didn't learn anything practical. If anything, it just confirmed that I already knew what I needed to know.
Right.
But I too stumbled upon it. I was actually looking to be a criminal defense attorney. And I was studying in the cafeteria at school for the LSATs. And this woman was passing by, and she saw that I was studying. And she said, do you work at a law firm?
Wait, is this Ryan Conger dressed as a woman?
Actually, good question. It could have been.
I knew it.
I said, no. At the time, I was working at the Naval Medical Center doing contracts. And she said, well, we're looking for a file clerk if you want any, you know, if you want to come in and interview. So I did. Long story, but day one was paralegal. I never became a file clerk. And after 5 years, I said, okay, let me explore the dark side. Enrolled into the USD paralegal program. And yeah, and here we are.
Yeah, how about you, Ivan? What do you think was helpful?
Yeah, the same. I want to echo what everybody's saying right now. It was, I learned a little bit about discovery at the certification program, but it was mostly like just being at the office and actually working. Lisa actually helped me out a lot because I asked her a lot of questions at first, and she was the one that took her time to like, okay, this is what a CMC statement is. And I was like, what? Yeah. What is that?
And I think it's helpful whenever we should teach attorneys more to give everybody the end game view. Like, yeah, this is why we're doing something. I think it's a lot easier if you understand big picture what you're doing. Yeah. So I want you to talk about, we're going to pivot a little bit here, about education now. It's a lot of trial and error, but you're figuring things out. Alonzo talked about conference and things. So what are you all doing now to continue your education, and what can we give our listeners some practical things if they want to learn their craft? What are you doing? What's out there?
For me personally, going to like the CALA legal staff meetings that they have.
And it's CALA, it's CALA.org is the website, Consumer Attorneys.
Yes. They have a very...
Los Angeles.
They have a very strong program for legal staff, so I'm always on the website, going to the webinars. You know, sometimes when they have their meetings in downtown, I like to go to that. I'm also part of like Los Angeles Legal Secretary Association. I think that's what it's called. I go with Veronica sometimes every now and then, but just going out there and like talking to people and asking them, you know, what's the new e-filing system that just came around? Like just asking your peers about, you know, new system that's going to affect the community as a whole, I think is really important. It's just being at the forefront and talking to smart people and socializing and networking to make sure that you're up to speed with everything else. Because as you know, like law is always changing. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to, you know, be out there, go to events, go to, you know, be a part of associations where you can learn more.
And you also head up and run our intra-firm education, yes, for paralegal stuff. So tell the listeners a little bit about what that is and how you do it.
Yeah, so I'm also the director of training here. So they gave me that position last year. And we tried to do it like twice a month, but then we like tapered it off to like once a month because it was hard to pull everybody from their day-to-day work. But yeah, talking to, you know, we had somebody to talk about social media. We've had, I think Ryan came one time to teach us all about mediation, and Jenny did. And I'm planning on having Sevi and Travis eventually talk about like trial documents and motions in limine, just some law clerks that don't know exactly what a motion in limine is. So it's nice to just push it out there and just have people come and learn.
Yeah. And how about Sarah, what are ways you continue your education in the field?
So not to repeat a lot of what Ivan said, but I echo everything you say.
She wings it.
I do wing it a lot. No. One of the things actually that I do like to do, I always, when people ask me like, what does a paralegal do? I always use a description that we're like professional students. We're always learning. We're writing, summarizing. So I do like to read like expert depositions. Mm. I think it helps me a lot when I'm going to prepare written discovery of how I want to respond to it.
Man, that's some high level stuff.
Yeah.
I like that.
And so, yeah, I really do like to kind of get in the minds and of our experts who are going to structure the case for us and kind of work backwards from there. And so I do a lot of that.
Yeah. And how about for you, Lupe?
Same. It's getting involved in organizations like CALA, CAOC. A lot of these organizations are now creating staff mm-hmm. tracks where they were ultimately just for attorneys. Most recently, I was reached out by the TBI conference in San Diego that's doing a staff track this year.
The first weekend of April this
April,
year.
April, right. Yeah. And I think it's important to when those organizations have staff tracks to get involved, because like Ivan says and Sarah, the networking is so important, because now you can read the procedures, you can read the local rules, you can familiarize yourself with, you know, the black and white of it. Mm-hmm. But I think where you gain the most of it is how people do the day to day. Like the reading the expert depositions is a great point. You know, that's something that is very useful. But
what's the best
way
for you guys to stay connected? I mean, are you guys on like a chat, an email? I mean, does something like that exist for you guys?
CALA has a legal support staff listserv.
Oh, cool.
That it comes with your membership. And you can shoot off. You can send something privately or you can send it to the entire listserv. So if you have a question, say, hey, we're going to court, we're going to trial in this department. Are there any specific local rules I should look for? And you just get it back. Or I need a sample of this, or I need an expert in this.
And how active is the listserv?
It's really active.
It's pretty active. Yeah,
it's really active.
I see Alonso respond all the time, too.
I mean,
Alonso's the expert.
He's like the godfather.
No, I mean, it's great. I find a lot of information there. There's stuff, you know, again, we're learning every day.
Right.
And so there's always somebody out there that puts something that maybe you've never gone through. And it's like, wow, that's something new. Mm. And I agree with everybody. You go to these events, you socialize, talk to doctors. You know, a lot of them are at these events, socialize with them, get information.
Because you're working a lot with these doctors, coordinating, helping medical care, make sure people get quality medical care. So you got to know the doctors.
Yeah, and they're always, you know, these mixers. It's not only for attorneys. There's staff there. There's a lot of doctors, experts, and a lot of them will talk to you. Don't think they're not. They're not above you. Lawyers there, too. They'll talk to you. They'll give you information. I mean...
Well,
again,
it's good to talk to people like that because we can go to the Rudder Guide. We can read the Civil Code of Civil the Code of Civil Procedure. We can look up the local rules. But what you're going to gain and the most valuable knowledge is you're going to gain from your peers, mm-hmm. how they get through, how they juggle, how they do stuff in terms of trial prep.
And
responding to discovery.
You have to find that person that knows the clerk in that courthouse. And that's a big thing.
Right. It allows you to think outside the box and really problem solve, you know, because again, we can read the code. We can do that, you know, until we're blue in the face.
It's applying it.
Do you get through the day to day?
So Alonzo, I know you were on a panel or headed a panel for Cala in Vegas.
Correct.
I think it was this past year.
A couple of years ago, actually.
So what other org? We mentioned CALA, CAOC, which is CAOC.org for people that want to look. Any other organizations that you all would recommend for our listeners?
I think a lot of the times you can find a lot of information online, researching. But it's, like Lupe said, it's speaking to your peers. You know, that's the best information because everybody's gone through a case in a certain way. Worked it up a certain way, and it's always good to be informed from everybody.
All right. So we're going to pivot to a different one. What are you guys using? I get this question asked a lot. I'm sure you do too, for like case management software or calendaring, which seems to change. How do you guys handle that at your firms?
We use a case management software called TrialWorks. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in there, you can generate documents. You can save your productions. There's different tabs. We're not using it to the full capacity because there's just, I mean, if you really dive in, there's a monster of things you can do with it. But for calendaring, we have a web-based calendaring system that LexisNexis provides called Law Toolbox. And it updates the codes. It's, you know, you put in when you enter the case, the legal assistants put in what district it's in. If it's in federal court, it applies all the federal rules. I mean, I'm a little OCD, so I always double check.
What's that one called? What's that one called again?
Law Toolbox, and it's through LexisNexis.
And how about Ivan? What are you liking these days?
Well, right now, as you know, we're about to switch over to FileVine. Previously, we were using just Outlook for all of our deadlines, but we're about to roll into calendar rules and be that our main calendaring system. And then once FileVine rolls out their own deadline system called, I think it's called DocketVine, then we'll roll into that. But
it's FileVine case management?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And the thing I love about FileVine is everything is now porting into it. Like we're doing medical record requests. Medical records go directly into case management software, OCR scanned. And it's being smart now where you can almost automate documents.
They have document generation. Lux has been at the forefront of making sure that all the documents generate by themselves. And it's a good software.
Does it generate automatically or do you go in and create a template and then it continues to generate?
The templates are there. So once you auto-populate the fields, when you enter the case, it'll write the documents for you. It can also write motions and things like that too. It's pretty sophisticated, but we're giving them the examples early on of how we like to do it.
That's great.
It does it. But everything's porting. So we're with FileVine, they're doing stuff with medical doctors so that if you set an appointment, they're going to track your medical treatment of your clients too. So if they miss an appointment, it's going to pop up on the calendar as well.
Yeah.
So it's getting very sophisticated. So the automation of law, I mean, it's hopefully because the more we know about the tech that's coming out, the easier it's going to be for us to.
Right. Yeah. And you said DocketVine is the calendaring part of it?
Yes. They're going to roll out with that I believe in the summer is when they're going to roll out with that feature, but I'm excited to use it. You can actually like text clients like through the file bind program. So, if you text a client, they respond to you, there's a certain number.
And it saves it to
And it saves it to their file. Yeah. So any communication that you have with the client, it's all saved on FileVine. So it's not like lost in somebody's phone. It's not lost in the emails. And I think FileVine's goal is to just minimize the amount of emails that go around in a law firm, just to have one central place to have everything you need for that particular case.
And if you have a chat room in there too, so you could save the chat for that case, so you can assign tasks. Just easier when we run a bigger firm to make sure everybody's all on the same page or if you pick it up.
Yeah,
so what really is, we have about 10 minutes left, so I kind of want to get to a different topic, and that's about expert discovery. Okay, I know it's the pain of a lot of people's existence. So Sarah, how have you? Because it sucks. It, like, you got to produce their file 3 days ahead of time.
Right.
What is the best means? Because sometimes you're as prepared as that expert is, and you got to find all their documents for them. So, what do you find is effective for our listeners?
I wouldn't use the word effective, but what I'm trying currently, I know. And I think FileVine has that option, which will help with experts in the future to send them documents directly. What I have problem with at the moment is experts stating that they haven't received documents that I know that they have received. And so even as efficient as I want to be and include a cover letter, like here are the documents and I have a confirmation from them received, it's going to fall. So it's always going to happen. So I think I've just taken, I've accepted the fact that it's going to be a work in progress. And, what helps me a lot with experts is having a good relationship with their assistants and, being able to have even like their cell phone, like, hey, after hours, give them a call. I just want to make sure you're ready. You have all your documents.
Do you have a checklist of material, or I'll ask it to anybody here, of things that you want to make sure they have when you send it out? Like, is there like, got to have discovery, got to have photographs, got to have, like, do you have any studies? Like, do you have a checklist you go through?
I do have a checklist, but I also, everything's always so customized that it's just like the basics, but it's always never going to be the basics. So I always go through the list with Ryan, make sure, we have everything we want to send them. And
You don't want to give them the records that say your client had back pain for all years going
exactly.
up and you can hide those.
Right.
You don't want to tell them there's a felony conviction.
You don't.
Oops.
Alonzo.
No, I think with experts, they're number one, we all know they're difficult to work with.
Yep.
But I think you have to meet with them at least 3 or 4 days before. Mm-hmm. Go over there after you send them the records, make sure they reviewed it. Because I've had some of the attorneys go over there and the experts are like, oh, I haven't looked at anything. I'm like, your depo's 3 days away. You got to produce your file.
And you see in their depo, I didn't get that.
I didn't get that. I didn't look at anything.
You got it.
You know,
setting up phone calls is also really good
with them.
Practice, like maybe 3 days before. So if they say, I haven't reviewed the records, like, okay, well, here's a link. You have 3 days to do it. So do it.
And getting them involved early, like early on in the case, you know what your issues are going to be. Getting your experts involved early, creating a relationship with their assistants, and keeping contact with them. Like, not just sending them stuff and contacting them when you need something, when the depo notice comes in. You want to keep constant communication so they're willing to be flexible when you need them to show up at trial, when they need to move their depo. Like you said, that half the time you send the stuff electronically to their assistant, and it's no different than when you give it to somebody that it goes on the back burner. So their assistant can send it to them. They've received it. Doesn't mean they've looked at it. So I always schedule. I keep an expert log that details exactly what I've sent, the day I've sent it, the method I've sent it to, who I've sent it to. And then I follow up and just say, hey, I just want to make sure you got this. And then a couple weeks later, say, do you need anything else? If there's a continuance on the depo or a continuance in trial, you want to make sure you're constantly communicating with them.
You got to be real persistent with
them. Yeah, you really do.
I love whenever it's like, you're starting trial, like, oh, I'm on vacation the month of June and July. Bro, we didn't think you'd be that. That's the worst. Dealing with these guys.
And just to echo what Lupe said, establishing relationships with these assistants, just, be nice to them and they'll give you what you need.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think we are unfortunately out of time. I think we might have to have a second session here to talk about some other cool stuff. But in the last few minutes here, Alonzo, I want to hear from the Godfather. I want to hear some war stories from you. Just some crazy things that happened or stuff you had to deal with. I mean, I had a trial with Gary. We had to keep the client sober for the trial. It was like that movie Airplane.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah. And she disappeared for like 5 days and we couldn't find her.
Didn't we send her to rehab too?
That was nuts.
Yeah, it was crazy.
We've had cases. Some of them have been interesting. I think the one that always stands out to me was years ago on a girl that fell off a balcony, intoxicated. And on the eve of trial, we did get a call from the defense attorney saying our client had a warrant. And I can't remember who the judge was. And Gary did bring it up to the judge. And the judge says, well, there's nothing I could do. Our client took the stand, testified, and she left. Gary told her, just go. She walks out. And as she's walking out, I would say a few minutes later, the sheriffs came in.
What?
Wow.
He got a good verdict on it, but I think that was really, really interesting, that one. And I always remember his first $1 million verdict as well. So he's had several interesting cases.
I mean, you've had one case that lasted for like 15 years in San Bernardino.
Yeah. I mean, still going, I think. No.
That was in years,
like,
for real?
Dude, it's, they no, have like 50 boxes of material. It's nuts.
It went 15 years. There was some guys that were abused in the courts, in the jail system by one officer there, correctional officer. And last I heard about that correctional officer, I think he was trying to apply at a school. Go figure that one.
Geez.
But it took a long time for that one. The result was great. We still keep in contact with one of the clients, and he's doing very, very well. He's got kids. He'll send us. I mean, it was a great case, but it was long and it was very time consuming. And I mean, but we were really thrilled with the outcome on that one.
And wow, thank you to the good Godfather. Yeah. So any questions, as always, media@justiceteam.com. We have a tagline here. It's above Sarah over there. And it says, no sleep. Ryan, can you please do it for us?
No sleep till justice.
And Evan Garcia, can you take us away with Pobrecito?
Pobrecito. Necesitas un abogadito para ayudar a tu familia. Estamos contigo, pobrecito. Por favor, no te enojes conmigo. Por el mejor consejo que te digo, vamos juntos por el mejor objetivo. Quiero ver su caso ser su mejor amigo. Que me digas tus problemas para ayudarte con ganas, amigo. Quiero ver su caso ser su mejor amigo. Que me digas tus problemas para ayudarte con ganas, amigo. Pasito a pasito, suave, suavecito. No vamos gritando, no más habladito. Dime tus problemas, siéntate las penas. Y yo tomo su caso con delicadeza. Oye, oye, oye.
Yeah, thank you for having us. It was fun.
I will. I will.